The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. Me, Justin, I'm stationary. Pete, are you stationary, Pete?
Yeah, very much so.
And Steve is doing 110 down the M4. All right, yeah. It's the fastest podcast in history. I don't know if it's in history, but it's probably the fastest weekend podcast around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not really, because I'm in Reading, and that's where the 50-mile-an-hour limit is, so, yeah.
Ignore that, Steve. Ignore that. On the weekends, they don't care. They just let it go crazy.
Yeah.
It's literally weekend, double that, double the speed limits. Any restrictions, just whack it up there. The inside guys know that. They just say, weekend, let it go.
Double it.
If in doubt, double it. do you know what? Last night, right? Fred, my eldest, I don't know if you can hear it outside, but you may hear it now and again, noise, right? So Fred, my eldest, is having a sleepover. And he's got three mates. They're going to be sleeping in the summer house, you know.
All girls.
Fred and three ladies. He's a ladies' man. He's gay. And he's got girlfriends that he prefers the men. They're doing a makeover on him. last night, Monty, my youngest, right, started sneezing and coughing and stuff, right? And he's got a lung condition, so we have to, keep an eye on him, Now, it was about 10 o'clock at night, so Megan was in bed. She's been in bed for 2 hours, pretty much. And so I thought, hang on, Monty. And sometimes I force Monty and Fred in the bunk bed with Monty so I can have Fred's bed sometimes. Because Lola, the dog, was taking over my part of the bed.
There's a hierarchy, isn't there?
Yeah. So I said, hang on, Monty, we may have to do a COVID test here because we've got to keep an eye on him. So I did the COVID test, right? We got that, did all the stuff, mix it up, put the swab up his nose, put the solution in the thing, but then pour the solution in that little reader, the gauge thing that tells you whether, thing. And so we're all three of us sitting there like that now. And because it's quite serious if Monty gets it, because it could affect his lung. And it came up, and the line came up. I said, Monty, you got COVID. Fred went, oh no, I can't have a sleepover. No, that's nice, Fred. Your brother's got COVID, and you're worried, it's all about you, is it? Yeah, so I thought I'd better make it up to her. So I won't make it up. So Monty's got COVID. Oh, no. She texts Priya, who's his doctor. She texts the school, and she texts the parents' WhatsApp group saying, sorry, Monty won't be in tomorrow. He's got COVID and stuff like that. Maybe check your kids and all that stuff. I said, oh, that's a nightmare. And then I said, show me the test. So show the test. Said, that's not positive, you fool. That's just showing the test is working, idiot. It's one line on the T bit. And I thought, really? I know, I didn't. I thought, really? Oh, my God. So then at 10 o'clock at night, Megan's texting all these people. I'm saying, he's sorry.
My husband is an idiot.
Yeah, my husband's simpleton. He doesn't know how the COVID test thing works. So there we are. So just had a cold. But it's all that worry about COVID.
You had COVID. Surely you knew how it was when you had COVID. Or did you not have COVID before?
But I've got short-term memory loss, I think. I forgot how it works. In fact, I'm talking about my mother came down today and my father. We went down to a favourite restaurant in town. Called Tycoon. Is there a Tycoon in Cardiff, Steve?
Sorry?
Tycoon.
I don't know, I've never heard of that.
Okay, it was very nice, gorgeous. I mean, it was funny, my mother was there. She had a glass of wine, But she's got a bit of dementia and just wine. She goes, that combination dementia and wine. You've got to laugh. Yeah. I said, Mum, she's eating away like this. And then, are you full? How would I know? I don't know, do I? I don't know. And then she picked up Megan's wine and started drinking Megan's wine. And it's just funny. anyway. Do you know how I feel about these markets?
Right, bringing it down, it down to the real...
Do you know how I feel about them, though?
Frustrating?
They are so annoying. I said 2021 on Twitter is officially the hardest year I think I've ever had in the markets for years and years and years. I've taken big hits on player, and as we all have, Gfinity's gone down, Biome's gone down, and it's so hard, isn't it? Do you find it, are you finding it mentally hard, or am I just paying too much attention to it?
Yeah, no, of course it is. You know, one observation I'd make is that this year compared to others for you, you know, you've really consolidated and focused on a very small number of stocks. So you're going to feel the impact, aren't you, if those, like you've just mentioned, those three have a hit. You're going to feel that a bit.
Yeah, that's the way you make... But the thing is, when I've made money in the past, I've always made money on one stock that I've gone big on at the right time, you know. So at the moment, nothing's moving. And literally, an RNS comes out, this fine. I mean, Gfinity's results are fine. They're what's expected, or a bit better than expected. And it took a 20% hit. Then what's going on here?
Yeah.
So it's so annoying. And I think, looking at it, share prices have taken it. People trade share prices. I don't, you know. Mm. I focus on the business, you know, and it's a business I'm concerned about. And in my mind, they're all, I genuinely think, we're on for a massive rally. And the odd thing is, the indices are very odd at the moment. So you've got American indices, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, all-time highs.
Yeah.
Now, when you say that, right, all-time highs, you think, because all American markets are doing well. No, the American markets are not doing well. What's doing well are the big FANG stocks. Yeah. So S&P 500, right, as I said, 500 stocks are the biggest market capitalizations in America. Now, 25% of the entire weight of that is in the FANG stocks, and they're doing quite well. The rest of them, in fact, I'm looking at a guy on Twitter right now, and he's listed all the stocks that are below their highs. So like Twitter, Snap. Twitter's down 38% from its high. Snap's down 38%. I don't know most of these. Roku's down 51%. Baidu's down 55%. Alibaba's down 56%. So a lot of stocks in America are suffering, but you don't see it in the indices, because it's warped and weighted towards the big FANG stocks.
Used by the big boys,
So there are, the markets are suffering. I just genuinely think the end of this year, next year, is going to be amazing. Do you know when you, and I keep likening it to the hangover after the party. That's where we are now in 2021. Mm. Like I said, any old simpleton, right, with a stockbroking account, they started investing April, May last year, they've been laughing. Any stock you can pick, any old dog, you do well. And of course, a lot of people they were in lockdown with furlough money, never invested before, made a lot of money. And they're like, this is an easy game, isn't it? But it's not.
Is
like
it
that.
Always like this?
Yeah. Is it always this easy? I don't know. Why am I actually going to work? I mean, you know, I'm on furlough. I'm not going back to work anymore. This is so easy. But now you're starting. If you started investing, like I said, since the end of Q1, you think. Yeah. This is so hard. Is it always like this? I'm going back to work.
Yeah. What I would say, though, is that, I am frustrated like you as well, probably not as much as you, but I have felt that. But I've equally, and it goes back to believing in the longer term, you know, view of the businesses that you're investing in, I've found it quite, in a way, exciting, because you kind of go, to coin a phrase, there's opportunities, some of these. And it's like, well, that's cool, because like GFIN was starting to head on up and 5p and, you know, thinking, oh, should have put more in there because I've, you know, could have put more in there. I wish it was below 4p and then I'd be putting some more money in. And it's dropped based on people thinking, oh, it's going to take longer to get to, you know, profitability or, you know, real revenue now and whatever. But is it though? And I saw your video and I thought that put a good case together for why things can start moving relatively quickly. And you sort of go, yeah. And that time just flies. I don't know about you, but this year's gone disappeared for me. So before we know it, it'll be next year, and blah, 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 you know, GFIN will be hopefully flying. And you sort of think, well, here's a brilliant opportunity. It is below 4p now, so you know, I'm topping up. So you know, I'm kind of excited in a way that I've been given the opportunity, the opportunity to increase my holding.
Because if you look at Gfinity, people said, well, it's not cheap, and it wasn't based on last year's results, you know.
No, but
it wasn't that expensive, really. It was like 7 times 2021 earnings. But now we are in 2022 financial year for Gfinity, which I don't think people understand that, because it started on the 1st of July, so their years run from half to half, you know, from sort of summer to summer. So we're in the second quarter now of their 2022 results. I mean, the forecasts of growth by 65%? I don't know this. So the forecast are going to grow by 65% to 9.4 million this year. Yeah. And then...
And things like Stocking Format, they've literally only just bought that.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Stocking Format and Siege, which are amazing. They are the busiest sites they've bought. They've had other sites they've taken over from nothing, actually, and created, and they've got up 400% to like almost like half a million or a million users per month. Now, Stocking Format has already got almost 2 million users a month. And if you look at it right now, they've now incorporated advertising and all that stuff. So I don't, and also was a profitable business. Last year, did 2.3 million in revenue. I mean, that was quite warped because there were new consoles out. So when that happens, of course, there's more people trying to search for that stuff. But there's been a chip shortage this year, and I've, you know, and it has been a problem getting PS5 and Xboxes. So I think if you look at that in Siege and just optimizing the sites they have, and I think they'll hit that 9.4 million. Stocking Form was going gangbusters, and Siege. Have you seen? I don't understand Siege. Siege is like this interactive community for this, you know, gamers. But it's like they'll post a page of stats on Twitter. And it'll get like, 300 likes. And you think, what? I don't even understand what that is. It's like posting something from the Premier League fixtures or, you know, results. Mm. And it gets like, I don't even know what they're talking about. Mm. But, the engagement on those. But, and in 2023, which a reminder, their financial year 2023 starts in July the 1st, they're going to be profitable. So I think, and now we're on a 4x3 sales. Peers are averaged around 5x sales, so they're now cheaper than peers, and their peers have growth of about 14% penciled in. This has got compound annual growth of 47% penciled in. So I mean, that's what I said though. It's not about that's it. It's the businesses. All you can do is look at the business. You can't. Yeah. You can't. You've got no control of the share price. But the thing is, how have you got spare cash, Pete? That's what I want to know. How you spare cash there? I've got hardly. I've had to mess around a bit and manipulate. You know, sell a few here, buy a few there. And I'm like, where's your? How have you got cash there? Where's the cash come from?
I had no. Well, because I got out of on the market, and I've had a couple of others where I've never been right down on cash. I've had a little bit of cash, so I'm now. Yeah, I'm now pretty much fully invested. I don't really have a lot of spare cash. I've also added to my ISA as well. But there you go. I've actually invested money in it. So I've brought money from the outside into my ISA.
Yeah, so you bought money from the outside. You keep money outside? What are you doing that for?
What?
I wouldn't keep money outside. Where do you put it? In the garden somewhere?
In the shed. Oh,
so what I've done is I've gone to the garden, dug up my chest, and I've actually in the ISA.
No, I took it down Harry and Larry in a wheelbarrow, and I said it.
Can you put it in my eye, sir?
Yeah.
Where is my eye, sir? Can I see my eye, sir? Where is it? No, it's not. It's not real. What do you mean it's not real? Mm. I want to see my eye, sir, please.
Once I retire, I pretty much think that's what I'll do. I'll just go and film myself doing
stupid
like that.
Stuff. Yeah.
So I had a bit. I haven't topped up massively, but it's just. I just thought, well, it's a true opportunity.
That'd be a good thing to say. So, my ISA, they said, is kept in this computer. My ISA is quite big. I've been investing for years. How the hell do they fit in their computer? Their computer's tiny. Anyway, so, no, I know what you mean. Anyway. I think it's a good discipline as well to have. It's hard to do it, but this is one of the best times now, I think, to be fully invested. Regardless, because there's a little bit of worry around. People are a bit bearish. That's very good. You know, genuinely very good. And in fact, you know, I look in the bull bear gauge, and it's very bullish, which is not very good. But I realise that's based on American indices, which are all-time highs, and those all-time highs are based on the top six biggest companies in the world, which are nuts anyway. So that itself is a skewed indicator, you know. But generally, if you ask the UK market, everyone I've had in the podcast, they're having a hard time of it. You know, it's not easy. All the stocks I know, you have little pop-ups and all that and rallies. It doesn't last very long. And I genuinely think 2022 is going to be a party year again. I don't want to do too much of a party year because you get the hangover then as well. So I just want to... You know when you have a hangover, have you ever had this? When you have a big drinking session, which you may be having one tomorrow, you know, relatively speaking, I don't want to go too nuts because Wales are going to smash Australia in the Principality Stadium there. But I'm coming down to stay with Steve in his double bed.
Right, nice.
Steve, have you changed your sheet, Steve?
No, don't be stupid.
I don't want to get
this
in
the last time.
Oh, yeah, once they start cracking, I change them. You know, once they crack.
Yeah. Once you get that homely smell, don't you? So I just...
homely. You say it's a homely smell, Steve. I'm sure other people wouldn't describe it as homely.
No. It's quite offensive.
Rancid is, I think, what other people say. Homely. Do you like taking a girl back? I don't change the sheets. I like a homely smell. Yeah. That, Steve, is not homely. That is disgusting.
Oh, to Steve.
But you know, you have a hangover sometimes. We've had this. The day after is not very nice. It's horrible, isn't it? You feel dreadful. But then the day after that, you get a surge of energy because you realise on that day, that evening you had, you've taken on so much calories, so much energy, that basically the next day you've just sat down and nothing because you were hangover. And so you've stored energy. That's what's happening in the markets right now. You've had a big rally, a party. We're storing energy. We're consolidating. Next year is going to be nuts. Don't be in cash before next year, I think, genuinely. And it's going to go berserk. I'm really bullish about 2022.
Okay. What's that based on other than hope?
I don't know. Because the markets are cyclical, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm quite comfortable because exactly for that reason, because I've been in it long enough to kind of go, yeah, it's okay. And that's why I'm like, oh, cool, that's a drop opportunity. That's good. I'll put some more.
Well, next year we got Valerian coming through, so that's one which is guaranteed at some point next year. You'd like to
guaranteed. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, let's look at this, right? First of all, now, let's go through the timelines of stocks we own. Truefin decision with Lloyds, right? It's coming up in December. You got some kind of news on Valerian now. It's not going to be bad news. How can it be bad news? Because what they're going to say is probably we're having a meeting with the FDA. That's not bad news. Because the bad news has happened. It's priced in there, you know? All they can say is progress is happening. Essentially, that's all they can say, isn't it? Because that's all that's going to happen. What else is they going to say? They're not going to say, we decided to give up now on this. They're not going to say that, are they? You know? So all that's going to happen from Valerian, news-wise, is we are making progress. We've got a meeting with the FDA or we've had a meeting with the FDA. So
yeah, but the market might interpret that as, more delays, you know. So it's, I know what you're saying, but...
No, but they're moving forward. I'm sure the market will
interpret it in...
Who is the market?
I'd like their next RNS to be a bit more clear, well, not clear, a bit more detailed, saying we're speaking to the FDA and this date we're going to find out when we're going to get the next submission.
Yes. I'm sure they won't have an RNS, Steve, just saying... We're having a meeting with Jeff and Chuck. And that's it. There'll be a bit more detail in it than that, you know. What's the nibbles like at the FDA? No, but what I'm saying is any RNS they release now will, relatively speaking, not be as bad as the RNS we had, which is the worst you can get, pretty much, in this situation, which is the one that we've received a letter from them. It's not the letter we want. The kind of letter that makes the share price drop by 60%, you know, or whatever it dropped by, or 50%.
I would think the nibbles are pretty dull as well, aren't they? Really, really compliant nibbles.
Pink wafers.
Yeah, really basic, plain. Yes, that's acceptable.
Well, it depends if Jeff and Chuck are there. If Jeff and Chuck are involved, it's a barbecue, I think, probably. Yeah, come on the yard later on. We got a barbecue going on. We'll chat about the application you submitted. And we'll see what we can do about this, okay? You know what I'm saying? Richie boy, bring some beers. And a big big brown leather bag full of you-know-what. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
That's how it works. So,
whilst the share prices are taking a hit, right, it's the businesses I'm concerned with. That's all you can look at. And they're improving. And I believe in these stocks, and that's why I hold them. Not through delusion, because I've seen lots of people holding stocks that just fall in love with them. You know, there are companies out there I've seen on Twitter, people wrapping these stocks, they give it up. It's not going to happen. You know, they're just holding them on hope. Oh, this is coming. It's coming. Oh, I wouldn't want to be out this over the weekend. Ooh. And it's basically all hope. But I believe in the stocks I hold because I've researched them, you know. The original investment thesis hasn't changed for good. If it does, I'll get out. To me, Valerian hasn't changed. There's a delay, yes. They're still intending to do what they intended to do beforehand. The market opportunity hasn't shrunk. It's got bigger with COVID. So it's still there. So, and you know, they said, the S&Ps will take a hit. The SPs will take a hit now again.
But that's the thing. You've got to detach yourself from the share price.
Yes.
Forget the share price. Forget, you know, don't look at that. Just look at the business. As anything, that story is still happening. Until we know anything concrete that's different to that story, then don't worry about the share price. And it's like, don't look at that. I mean, it's hard to not look at your portfolio and look at the top line figure, but, you know, don't worry about that. It's have any of these stocks, any of these stories changed? And if they haven't, then just hang on in there. Or if you've got some spare cash and you see a drop opportunity, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I've had to remind myself very...
Oh, he's crashed.
Oh, he's crashed. That was the last time. That's the last thing we heard from Steve.
What was the last word he said there? I even forgot it. It was so, you know, bland. If you're going to end your life, you know, end it with a punchy quote or something.
Yeah.
Steve said something like, I tell you what, in fact, what I did was, that was it. And that was Steve's last words.
I'll always remember Steve.
Yes, I always remember Steve. His last words were, I say this, but no, what it was, I actually, when I say that...
Yeah.
What was he going to say? It's like, I wonder what he was going to say at the end of that.
Imagine it was like absolute...
So he'd say, I know Steve. Yeah, I know Steve, but I knew something profound was coming. But he's taken that to his grave. And
he might have held the key. The key to all investors.
Yeah. Oh, he's back. Steve, you there?
I'm back.
We're laughing about your demise then, Steve. I always say you probably crashed there. Steve's last final words were like, kept us on a cliff edge, bit bland at this end, but we was going to say something really profound, and then all of a sudden he just crashed and died. That's
the way to make money in AIM is...
Go on, Steve, what are you going to say?
No, I was just going to agree with Pete.
Thanks.
I've had to kind of remind myself quite a lot recently about... forgetting about the value of my portfolio in stocks going down, and just think about the businesses. And actually, I think it did work, doesn't it?
Yeah, but listen, a while back there was a thesis came from American universities about the. In fact, it's been around for a long time. There's a thesis that the markets are efficient. That means everything's priced in, you know, to the value of the company. And this is complete rubbish. And it was proved wrong, but it still held water. It's quite a clever thesis. The markets aren't efficient. There's a disconnect between the share price and the business, always. And these short-term dips you have often are opportunities, you know, and that's why you can make money in the markets, because the share price does not reflect what the business is doing or what it's going to do. Now, if you've researched, you know, enough to realise that this business has been improving and it will improve, and that will be reflecting the share price later down the line. It's like the old adage that Warren Buffett said, and I put this on the GFIN thing, about your house. If you buy a house for like 500K and it's a good deal, you know, that's a good deal, it's a lovely house. I knocked them down from 530, I got 500,000 I bought it for, and then an agent comes along, so listen, we're looking for houses desperately, I give you 480 for a house. Yeah. Unless you're desperate for the cash, unless you really need the cash, you're not going to sell a house. Because it's like, are you kidding me? I paid, you know, 500,000 of it. It's worth that every day. It'll be worth more than that in 10% each year, pretty much. So no way am I selling for that. It's the same with businesses in the stock market. The market's every now and again. There was, I don't know who quoted it. Was it Benjamin Graham, I think it was? Called Mr. Market, the rational Mr. Market. Every now and again, Mr. Market will come to you. He'll offer you a ridiculous price for your shares. And you say, go away, you fool. And then sometimes they'll come to you and offer you an exorbitant rate, you know, your shares times two, the value, and think, okay, I'll take that price. But don't take the price when he's acting like an idiot and offering you silly numbers. And that's what's happened to share prices. Just don't take it. No, I'm not taking that. It's like what's that Noel Edmonds thing, the banker and all that stuff?
Deal or no deal, yeah.
Deal or no deal, yeah. The market comes up and says, deal or no deal? No deal!
Yeah. Benjamin Graham is he's the guy who said that the market is a voting machine in the long run, but in the short run the market is a voting machine, but in the long run it's a weighing machine.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right, isn't it? Because it's like that is the long term view. You've got to look at that and not look at the traders and the fluctuations and the day to day and all that.
Yeah.
You've got to look at
the long term. I never understood that really. I thought, what does he mean by that?
Well, I totally get that. No, but it's all voting machine is all like it's
what's popular of the moment.
Exactly, knee jerk. You know, it's all kind of voting up, down, you know, voting for whatever. But it's weighing in the longer term. It's weighing the value, isn't it? It's weighing the actual value of a business. So,
It's
exactly what we're talking about, I think, isn't it?
Well, someone, you know what? I got to say, I mean, when I keep saying this to people who've just started, and I know that a lot of people in the Sharepickers Investment Club have just started, I have to keep saying to them, this has been such a hard 9 months. It really has. And then quite a few people ask me, is it always like this, you know? Or are we doing what we're doing wrong? Right? I say, listen, it's not always like this. You're not doing anything wrong. Some people are trying to change their strategy. Don't change it in a year like this. I can't remember the book. I read a book recently, an audio book it was, or Walking the Dog, and it's about fund managers who had spectacularly outperformed for decades, pretty much. But they'd all gone through dodgy periods in their careers where there'd been investment outflow from their investment funds. One of them was sacked and almost, you know, because he didn't, during the tech boom, actually, he said, I'm not going to tech stocks. And then other people were saying, hang on, there's loads of people earning money in tech. You know, tech's going nuts. It's like crypto at the moment. It's exactly like crypto at the moment. Exactly like that. And they said, why didn't you invest in some crypto or Bitcoin? And he kept saying, because I don't believe in it. I don't think it has any intrinsic value. Or some of these crypto stocks have no... And they said, well, they're making hundreds of percent every day, you know? Why aren't you investing? And all of a sudden, he got sacked from this. And yet, for 10 years or for 20 years previous to that, he was outperforming the market hands down, you know? And then he got sacked because he didn't join in the dot-com boom, the tech boom. And then, literally, the day after he was out, he got rehired by another hedge fund. And it was, the timing was amazing. It was literally a week after they sacked him, he joined another hedge fund, the dot-com bubble popped. And his value stocks went through the roof. There we go. And so it's not your strategy. The markets are, at the moment, very irrational. And they say, you know, the markets can stay irrational for longer than you can stay liquid. With me, it's about the markets can stay irrational longer than you say sane. It's driving me nuts. But it's not like this, you know? I just think, you know, when you have a year that's been so easy, anyone could make money, the next year is going to be hard. And you can almost guarantee it, almost not calendar year for calendar year, but the next period when it starts to rally will be a lot easier, you know? And it's as simple as that. But when in the day-to-day toil of it, it feels a lot harder. But like you say, time flies, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, but like we said before, like for you, because you're in it 24/7, really, aren't you? You're kind of there. Like, whereas you know, I'm kind of really distracted with work, busy with work, and I can't spend too much time looking at it. Steve's busy crashing on the M4, so he can't spend time looking at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different thing. Whereas, you know, you're kind of so in it all the time. I can really imagine it being, well, playing on your mind. Really. Yeah, just kind of.
It's hard to switch off. That's why I put a couple of quid in crypto, messing around with it, you know, just distract me. And it did a little bit, but I haven't done it recently. Maybe I should do that again because it's really annoying. But I have to remind people, someone said, one of the guys, I don't know who it was, in the ship, because they said, I've lost so much money this year. I said, no, you haven't, unless you've sold, and it's the old adage, you haven't lost anything, you still hold the same amount of shares in a business. Now, if you'd bought more shares at a cheaper price, you could, you know, do better. But I mean, you haven't got any less shares in a business, and that's it. It's a business, isn't it? And if you are in charge of a business, you're a business owner, and let's be honest, say it's a new business and you've been running for 2 years and you've had two really good years improving, but every now and again you have a couple of bad days, a couple of bad weeks maybe, or a quiet month, you're not going to just pack up the business and sell, are you? It's doing well. Okay, you have the odd quiet month. That's to be expected in business. That is business, you know? So don't sell it.
If Polarian does hopefully, you know, come to fruition and the plans go to plan, you know, I'm going to be, well, not dining out, but I'll have a good pub story in that how much money I lost, in inverted commas, in like 15 minutes of Brown Wednesday. You know, I didn't sell though, and it's hopefully, well, it has come back since then, obviously, but hopefully I'm looking at much bigger gains from here. That will be will be a funny story of like,
people be sitting around the table, when you're a billionaire, Pete, people sitting on the table and you'll say and do you know what? It went down by 60%. And do you know what I did? So people all sitting there on the, you know, your children, your grandchildren, your niece and nephews. Yeah. Tell us, Uncle Pete, what did you do? I did nothing.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. I sat there, I lost half a billion in paper money. I mean, I exaggerate a bit, obviously. As you get older, you have to exaggerate the story a little bit to make it interesting. I lost half a billion in the morning. What did I do? I did absolutely nothing. Didn't sell any? No. Oh. And do you know what happened to that company? It went bust. No. But later on, that company became the most successful company on AIM. It literally supplied all those polarizers. They became the mainstay of every hospital. And that's why I became a billionaire. If I'd sold on that day, I wouldn't have made that money. Simple as.
I don't think Polarion will make me a billionaire, but I've been okay.
No, but do you know what? Polarion has the potential to be a massive company. Sorry, Steve, go on. Polarion is a game-changing stock. It has a global market that's huge. Now, if you look at scalability, right, and look at massive potential, there aren't many companies with that potential, you know? So I'm biding my time there. I know nothing's going to happen there, but I don't want to get out in any way whatsoever. No way.
But what I'm saying, even if it gets to £100 a share, I need to have 10 million shares. To become a billionaire.
No, I'm not saying Polarion will make you a billionaire. Oh, okay. Make you well off enough to invest in other companies. And then what I did then is I put it in this company. Have you heard of a company called Apple? Or the next Apple, you know. Have you heard of a company called Tangerine? What? Yes, well, Tangerine was laughed at, you know, in 2025. But I bought into it when it was 5p a share. Now it's £21.90.
Yes.
So, you know, but I say make money, isn't it? Do you know what? It's a risk reward. I was watching, worth watching, actually. Have you watched Narcos?
The original Narcos, yeah.
Well, there's three. I don't know where it went. I think it went, I don't know. There's such a big gap between them. I don't know where I am now. But I picked up on Narcos 3 now in Mexico. It's very good. Yeah. The first one is a bit. What's going on here? And I'm on the treadmill trying to read the subtitles, bunch up and down. My eyes aren't that good these days because I spend so much on the computer. If I'm like more than a yard away from the TV screen, I need glasses. I can't wear glasses on the treadmill. But it struck me. It's very good actually. Watch Narcos 3 in Mexico, but risk reward, right? And I thought this is quite a risk reward there. Mexican drug lords, for example. Right, the risk is quite high there. You know, it's like either you spend the rest of your life in prison or you die. Because I don't think there's many drug lords have, you know, got away with it. Because the thing is, you earn so much. I mean, Pablo Escobar one time was earning the same as GE, you know, General Electric. He's earning billions. And so you cannot help have a spotlight turned on you when you earn that kind of money. You know, it's nuts. So the reward is massive. But the risk is massive. And you think, is that the only way of becoming a billionaire? No, it's not. So you could become a billionaire just starting a business, you know? And yet the risk isn't as bad. It's, you're not going to be shot or killed, or you're not going to be in life in prison. You know, you may be skint now again, but as long as you're... So it's the same as stocks, isn't it? If you want big reward, it doesn't mean you have to take silly risk.
No.
And silly risk is like oil and gas. Or preclinical, like C4XD. In fact, C4XD...
Why
I quite like those is because they got several things on the go. Have they, though, anymore? I mean, I see Craig's left today, didn't he? Craig left there.
Craig Fox, scientific officer, chief scientific officer. Yeah, well, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because they don't... They're not exactly big on the promotion of what they're doing.
But when Clive said they want to be the most prolific preclinical... Yeah. Novel drug creator in the world.
He didn't say when, though, did he? So
no. So
hang in there, kids.
Yeah, but, and it's rally, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But going back to the whole thing I was touching on earlier about having a little bit more of a broader portfolio and a little bit more balanced portfolio. I mean, you know, by more luck than judgment, I'm not going to say I'm some genius investor, but just because I've got those what I call fun corner stocks, you know, that's up. That's dropped right back, but in the last month has risen probably 40%, and it's right up, and that's helped to sort of preserve my overall, you know, top headline figure in terms of the portfolio value a little bit more than if I only had 5 or 6 stocks. But you know, and Lloyds is a thing, for example. I have them, and they're up for this year. They're up probably 50%, aren't they? So
I didn't realise my missus in a not a non ISA. But I just put some money into the Vanguard fund for her.
Yeah,
that's up like 35%.
Yeah, I got a Vanguard fund, yeah, yeah.
That's so annoying, that is. That's so annoying. I'm down this year. I mean, the thing is, this is the thing with microcap stocks. If you're down 30%, you can recover that in a week.
Yeah,
easy,
exactly.
You know?
Of course, of course.
So if you're down 50%, you can do it a week and a half, 2 weeks. You can literally double, triple in a few weeks. And that's it. The FTSE will move a little bit. The big caps will move. You may get 5, 10, maybe 20, 30% over the next few years. But if you want to double, triple, quadruple your money, you've got to go micro. Well, I did this with Craig Fox. He's left C4XD, right? And he said there, Craig Fox said, I believe the team's world-class scientific expertise, tenacity and dedication combined with proprietary cutting-edge technologies provides a truly groundbreaking capability that can efficiently deliver world-leading medicines that can meaningfully impact the lives of patients. But I'm going to do something else. So, hang on, Craig.
I thought that as well.
If this is that good and you are the chief scientific officer, where are you going? Unless you, I know. Does it get any better than that, Craig? So, he's just moved on to pursue a new opportunity.
And you don't know, who knows? You could speculate that there's some politics going on there, that there's been a falling out or, over the direction of the business. Or who knows? You could speculate all sorts of theories, couldn't you? And you just don't know. So, rather than speculate, I look at the price and the market didn't react to that today at all. So, move on to that.
That's a good thing. Do you know what, actually? I see a lot of, opinion on stocks and things. I think this, I think that. This is what I think. I think, well, hang on, that's just your opinion. It's a survey of one,
Exactly.
What's the figures? What's the facts behind it? I mean, a lot of people see the share price going down and start selling because the share price is going down. They think it's bad. Well, you actually read the update or... It's amazing that I post lots of stuff, and people have asked me questions about something I just posted. I just posted that there. Can you see that? a guy actually asked me some questions on the GFIN. I don't think that, he said. He said something like, what do you say? Oh, hang on a second. He said, that 768% gain in the business you said, but if you look at it, the other part of the business has gone down. So, obviously, that growth is at the expense of the other part of the business. That's the whole point, you imbecile. The old business, the low margin business, they're reducing and increasing the high margin. It's a transition happening here. He said, there we are. I said, you haven't even watched the video. You just watched a tweet of mine and not watched the video attached to it, you fool. That's the whole point. And I couldn't be bothered even reply to him. I thought, no, if you're not going to take the time to actually watch the video and just criticise the tweet, I can't get all the information from the video in a tweet. You have to watch the video.
Weirdly, I watch the video and don't read your tweets.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Right. That's the way to do it, Steve.
Go on.
Yeah, okay. Well, on a similar vein this week, Biome, as Steve would say.
Yeah.
Gutters. I'm not worried about the longevity of that. It's just annoying that I sold my BT, on the market. I sold all my dying stocks. I put it all into Biome.
Okay. Well, but it's a knock, isn't it? But it's a delay.
It's now 10 million market cap. All you do is look at valuations, right? It's 10 million. Now, just look at I'm going to the website here. But they're still going to be doing, right? Put this in perspective. Now, of course, esports is very hot. I'm not deramping one stock in favor of another stock. I'm just saying esports is very hot. So the multiple is quite high. But Gfinity is going to do 5.7 million last year in revenue. And they made 2.7 million loss. Biome are going to do 5.7 million. Right? And they're going to do, I think it's a lot less loss than that, a lot less. But they're valued at 10 million. And Gfinity is valued at 40 million. So you can say that obviously give the multiple to Gfinity. Yeah, but it's only like less than 2x sales now.
Yeah.
And it'll be less than 1.4 sales next year. Because they're going to go up to... The whole issue is, I knew this, supply chains don't get solved overnight issues, And I sort of knew this. I did reduce on Biome, not because I thought there were supply chain issues, because I wanted some cash, and I wanted to take advantage, maybe the open offer, maybe buying something else, which I have bought something else. I won't talk about here because part of the Shaper Kids Investment Club exclusivity period is I talk to about a stock on the club in the club, and then I give them a month to research it, and then I reveal what it is. So I bought another stock. I think it's very hot. So I want them to cash, but then I realize, in fact, I realize that they're going to have supply chain issues now, not just for one quarter. It's going to be two, maybe three quarters, but it's going to get better, you know. And in fact, I emailed Paul. And he just said, it's so frustrating. He said, there's so much demand. We have now so much demand for our product. The pipeline is so strong and people are demanding the product. And he said, we actually sent some containers over to the US from Germany, which one of their production hubs are, in June, and they haven't arrived. He said, some of them arrived, some of them haven't. So we are just basically, our supplies are throttled by the supply chains. We can't do anything about that. But what's good is it's just a delay. Nothing's cancelled. You know, new orders and new customers, nothing's cancelled. The demand is still there. They want it, but we just got to get it to them. That's an annoying thing, you know? So, yeah.
And even though you've sold some, your holding now is probably bigger than everyone listening to this combined.
I don't know everyone, but yeah.
Not everyone, but a whole bunch of us combined, and your holding in Biome is still bigger. So,
My holding is, you could probably buy, you know, a nice little detached house in South Wales for it, you know, so it's
exactly. Right, there we go.
But I believe it. I think it's a very hot area. It's an ESG. It's very, you know, it's biodegradable plastics. You know, it's. I understand. Eventually, hopefully, we hope to get off plastics. It's not going to happen though. But in the meantime, we're going to transition to something that's a lot more, you know, environmentally friendly, and that's biodegradable plastics. And so, I think there's a huge market for it. And people say, "Oh, they're taking a long time getting." Do you believe what they're doing there? I said, "Yeah, I do, because this is the kind of industry people don't understand this." I'll explain. I'm not a manufacturer. I don't understand how it works. But I sort of learned about it. I spoke to Paul about it. He said, it doesn't happen overnight. When you sort of create this kind of product, first of all, there's no proof of concept. You know, we're testing it, we do it. So we work with a customer, commercial customer, and they test it. And these are small sample tests they do on it. And then that takes a long time, first of all, to get that level. So now we have one major customer, now a second one taking it on, who've tested for, you know, a year or so. So we are talking about cycles that take a year to develop, you know, at least. And then to get into commercial production, we're talking about, you know, 2-3 years. So now we've got 2-3 customers going to commercial production with it. We can't do it because of supply chain. Plus, we've got another sort of, you know, 5 who are testing it. So these will now build. And once they get this kind of product into their supply chains of these customers, it's very sticky, you know. But they've also, there's a good thing, they've taken so long to test it because they know it works. So once they start getting these commercial contracts and they're stacked up, they are stacked up, the growth will be excellent. Absolutely excellent. But they obviously now a spanner in the works, so supply chains have come along. But honestly, once supply chains ease, this is going to grow. They're going to have 40% growth this year and next year.
Yeah.
All that's happening, supply chains messed up.
And the thing that strikes me then, they've got quite a lot of trials going on and things that are happening like that. And it's just, you just need some of that to convert into business, real meaningful business. And it'd be like, yeah, there you go. And yeah, they're a small market cap, aren't they? And it's like you do the multiples.
10 million.
Again, it took a hit this week. I haven't bought more, but you know, it is a drop opportunity. But yeah, we just hang on in there.
Because honestly, I believe all you can see if you look at the investor section of the website, anyone can get this. So it's biomtechnologiesplc.com. You'll see an investor section there. Click that at the bottom there. You'll see analyst research. Read reports, and then you can see the Q3 update there. And all they've got is, I think they did predict 2-3 years out recently because of supply chains now. They've only started to predict next year. But they've got 5.5 million. So last year, 5.7 million. And next year's 8.1 million. You know, that's assuming supply chains are going to hold up there. Or they will ease. Of course they will ease. That's, you know, it's just the whole thing with... you know, the pandemic and all that stuff. You've gone from no demand to massive demand and they can't cope with it, you know? So you've got factories shutting down, then all of a sudden they want to not only go back to normal capacity, but double capacity. They can't do it. So,
Can we move on to your favourite subject, escape hunt?
Yes.
And have you had your allocation for the open offer allocated to you yet?
Yes, I've seen the thing. I've got a notice there, but I've had the things next to my... when I looked at the website there, you get allocated, didn't you? And then all of a sudden it says it gives a zero value to the stock. I don't know what... So what happens is you can apply for more, can't you? If no one takes up their full allocation... Yeah. That allocation gets given shared out between the rest of the people. So I don't think we'll know, because we know the timeline is that 19th day, which is Friday, is the end. We'll know on the 23rd. When is the 23rd? Is that...
Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday, okay. Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because obviously money's taken out of the ISA, taken out of the account. So, you know, your portfolio drops a little bit. Oh, why is that? Oh, okay, that's money's gone. But nothing to show for it at the moment. So that's quite fun. And I just
wondered you've got Harry and Larry, haven't you?
I wonder if that's a Harry and Larry there. Oh, there's some extra money coming. Right, we'll take that money in the pub this weekend. That'd be lovely.
Yeah. We'll take that to the pub, put in the gambler.
And then
if we win, we'll put it back in.
Yeah.
If we don't, we say they haven't been allocated.
No. Yeah. If we win, we go around the casino, put it all on black. And then, if we win, double our money. Yeah, and then we'll put it back in. Yes, then put it back in, and if we lose, we say no, it hasn't been allocated. Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
What I think I realise now is what you're looking at is and I've said for a long time, part of the strategy is hot trends. Have you seen in America at the moment? EV has gone berserk.
Yeah,
absolutely berserk. So
the vans that you told us about last
time?
Rivian. I mean, but that just makes no sense, does it? That literally makes no sense. An IPO valuing a company $100 billion, and they haven't even sold one truck.
Yeah,
and that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking now. How many cars does Volkswagen sell? Sell a year.
So when you say it's gone bonkers in the States, what are the facts to back up?
Right, here we are. Right, so Rivian, right, they're going to do these pickup trucks, right? EV versions of these pickup trucks, okay? They IPO'd this week. It went up and came back down, but they IPO'd and they hit $140 billion valuation. They've sold not one truck, right? So their valuation was bigger than Volkswagen, who delivered 9.3 million vehicles to customers worldwide in 2020.
Yeah.
So they are worth more than Volkswagen. It's just nuts. And
that's insane.
So are they ready to go into production then?
No, well, not really. I think they've got a factory there. This is the thing. So when you value a company, what do you value it on? Because people are saying, well, that's the future. How do you put a price on the future? You know, because we're assuming now Volkswagen. But the thing is, Volkswagen have, you know, an EV side. They're going to be developing more EVs. I don't understand. It's not as if Volkswagen say, no, we're sticking with diesel and petrol, and they're a dying market. It's not like that, is it? It's the same with big, you know, Shell and all that, diversifying into EV and hydrogen, you know. So Volkswagen are doing the same. But they're being treated like they're a business that's going out of favour or will not be around for like 10 years' time, which is nonsense. So... Yeah. So first of all, when you value a company, you generally the most looked at, especially mature companies, looked at metric is price earnings multiple, you know, which is very sensible. You've got the market cap of a company and you put that up against the profit. How many times does the profit, you know, go into the market cap, you know? So if you're in 10 million profit and the company's 100 million market cap, that's like a PE of 10. And then you've got companies that are newer, not yet generating profit, but they have sales, of course, and you can see the demand is there. So you do EV sales, maybe. And so that's the enterprise value of the company, which is, of course, the market cap, take away the cash, add the debt, and then the sales multiple of that. So say the company is worth, say, the EV is worth like 100 million again, and their sales are worth, you know, 10 million to, again, 10. Now, though, Rivian, they've come up with a new metric. They've gone market cap orders. So what? So you got all these orders, and you do it times that. And I don't know what the market cap is of that. I don't know what that is, but it's a silly multiple. It's like they got an infinity.
But is that money in the bank? Are those orders paid for?
I don't know. I have no idea. But they did drop. But it's gone. You know, it's nuts. And it's, I mean, that's worrying because Tesla's one of the people. I think people have missed out on the Tesla rally. The Rivian's the next one, you know, and jumped on that. This is a hype stock. But yet Tesla is a bit more than just, you know, they are, well, the market.
They sell cars for a start.
Yeah, but also they were way ahead of the pack, weren't they? When you're the, you know, early adopter.
They still are, really. I don't think anyone can really compete there with their batteries at the moment, can they?
Yeah.
Well, I say no one can compete. They have got the best battery technology of all EV cars.
Yeah. Do you know what? Inflation's happening, isn't it? I fill up my. Do you know what I know? Inflation's happening. I filled up my car this week, right? Diesel.
Yeah.
Have a guess how much it cost. I was in the red. So I got a BM.
£80
Higher.
85
Steve's turn. Steve.
87
Higher.
90
Higher.
What? 94
How big is your tank?
Higher.
98
This was an Asda as well. Higher.
101
Oh, lower.
£100
Ooh, a little bit higher.
We're not doing pence.
Yeah. I missed the round figure, didn't I? it did that click, 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 you know, full. Right. And I was on 99, sort of like 15 pence. So I get the 100. I went, what was it, 101 pence?
But how many miles would you get out of that tank?
I have no idea. I hardly ever drive. But that's good for coming to you and back, Steve, at least, and a couple more times.
I find this bizarre because I've got a big SUV and it only cost me £65 to fill up mine. So how big is your tank?
Isn't yours a hybrid,
no,
Steve?
No, I've got a big tank, Steve.
It's a battery car.
Yeah, Steve's filled up his car with a diesel. So it lasts for a boot. Yeah. Fill up my tank.
It's a jerry can. Yeah.
I never ever use it. So why? It's an EV.
Right, that's it. There we go.
He said, what I do though, it's just I literally, when there's a diesel shortage again, I sell it to people at a profit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is a hybrid, but it only does like 3 miles in electric. It's more of a license driving kind of car.
It's more of a diesel. It's more of a marketing exercise. Oh, right. Wow, 100 quid. Yeah, that's a lot.
All I know is I've filled it up before. It's never got to 100 quid. I think the most I've had is about 90 quid. So that is, in percentage terms, it's 11%.
But United Oil and Gas still seems to be going down.
Yeah.
They need to be selling their gas to the service stations.
Everything's going down, though. Everything's going down. It's like, you know, the odd pop here. Everything's small cap. We'll go, Steve, listen now. 2022, it will go nuts. Hold on. Honestly, stay sane, because I'm on the edge of losing it. But honestly, it will go nuts in 2022.
Yeah, right.
Strap in, Steve. It'll make it back to the future.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Anything else? I heard someone say, talking about... I don't know why I thought this was quite funny. When I'm on treadmills, I analyse stuff too much. But I heard someone say on the radio yesterday, they talked about carers and all that stuff. And this woman said, well, you know, when you pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
Mm.
And I thought, do you really?
No.
If I said, right, listen, excuse me, if you actually, you know, advertise a job and give the, you know, the wage in peanuts, would monkeys even apply for that job?
That's a very good question.
And then, if they did apply for the job, which is phenomenal if they did, would they know how much peanuts you gave them 1 week compared to the next week?
No.
You could really tuck them up, couldn't you, the monkeys? No. So this week you get 10 peanuts, next week you get 9.
Mm-hmm.
Would they know? Yeah. Can they count? So I think that saying, if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, it's not entirely accurate, is it?
Yeah. You've got to be careful when you're saying peanuts. Because that sounded a bit weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you pay that, then what are you getting?
Exactly. 10 what? Right. Exactly. Good point.
Anything else?
let's end on that. That's a high.
Yeah. Let me just scroll down here and that's it. C4X2 cover that. Yeah. Any TV recommendations, Steve? Anything good?
I started on the Christmas movies, actually, and I watched Love Hard on Netflix.
Love Hard?
And, what?
So, Steve, because that's the wrong channel. It's a family podcast, Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
Hang on, I'm thinking, is it Love Hard, or is that something else?
Heart. Love Heart, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it's got Hard Love.
Hard Love?
Debbie does what?
Debbie does tinsel.
Anyway, but yeah, that, I quite enjoyed that. It's a very, Megan would like that.
What's it called? Love Hard.
It's full of S&M and right. Love okay. Good.
Have you watched anything this week, Pete, or just staring at the window?
No, I just stare at my TV blank. You know, don't turn it on because it saves energy.
Okay. I'd recommend, I mentioned it earlier, but definitely the Narcos. It's very good.
The
story gets better and better. Stick with it, right? The first one is a bit dodgy, but by the second one, we're looking at, he's him. I didn't realize that was him in the car with him who shot him. I understand now. What's he going to do with it? And then, that was him. Okay. But,
tell you what, quite funny. Have you watched this week's episode of Succession?
No.
No.
Good point, Stephen.
It's quite a funny one.
I don't think I have, actually. Oh, good point. We'll watch that now. Right. I'll see you tomorrow, boys. Actually, physically, in the flesh.
Yes, in the flesh. And then, for physical enjoyment.
Yeah, physical enjoyment. Steve, wash the duvet and sheets, yeah? Because I'm not a big fan of that homely smell.
Am I supplying pillows?
Before I came on, I said, do you want me to bring... That sounds quite sexual, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Am I supplying pillows?
Okay.
Use that as a chat-up line, Steve. Am I supplying pillows tonight? Pardon? Nothing? Steve said
Am
to me
I
before.
Am making you breakfast?
I thought it was a very odd thing. Yeah, I can make a very good breakfast. What? Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
Mm. Okay. But Steve said to me, I said, do I need to bring pillows and duvet? He said, are you able to put a duvet in your car? I said, well, how small do you think my car is? Yeah. It's not a clown car. How big do you think my duvet is? Yes, it's quite easy to put my duvet in my car. It's not that hard. So, but I think Steve's polite way of saying, bring a duvet,
because I can't be bothered. Yeah.
All right, it's better go because one of the boys are knocking on the window.
Okay. Yes. And he's crying. And he has been for an hour now. So,
go away.
Right. Okay.
Speak next week. Bye bye bye.
All right.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.